just enough chill in the air and maybe some dust and exhaust. But I love it because it means it's harvest time. Bins are all cleaned out, or should be. The service techs are all highly caffeinated, and it's time to get to it. And we're coming along for the ride. Welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast, where we're going to meet up with some of the heroes of the harvest and tell their stories, in hopes that when we're through, we're all a little bit smarter. And now to the show. All right, welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast, inaugural edition. And I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate an inaugural edition than with our friend and fan, Mitch Mers, Mers Farm Equipment, Falls City, Nebraska. Mitch, where are you driving to right now?
Well, I'm driving through Northwest Missouri today, and we're demoing a gleaner combine over here on, what county is this? Polk County, Missouri. We're demoing
Polk
a gleaner combine.
Polk County, Missouri. How's the demo going?
Great. The first guy that got in there, he was very analytical thinking. He got in, he noticed the fuel savings right off the bat. His dad got in, and his dad noticed the fuel savings. They're running out there and got into the AGCO Draper, and they like the AGCO Draper a lot better. It's cutting the beans off. And fuel savings-wise, dad was saying that they were running about 16 gallons an hour with the John Deere, and we were running 8.5.
Goodness.
So. Yeah.
Particularly these days, you know?
Yeah. It'll add up to some savings for him.
Well, so, you know, we're a handful of days, maybe even a few weeks into harvest now. What are you seeing, right? What is what's your observation, your early conclusions?
Oh, I think that throughout harvest, we've, you know, the rain shut off about middle of July for us. And when the rain shut off, it shut off quick. The last 45 days of that growing cycle definitely could have used some more moisture. I think that we lost some potential yield there, but we still have some really good pockets. You know, within an 80-acre field, we've got spots that are just are heavy, dense, and, you know, we'll see a 20-bushel, 30-bushel, you know, rise in the corn yield there. And so we're seeing pockets and seeing some really good yields and spots and some yield that maybe leaves a little bit to be desired in some of the edges and some of the high ground, the top of the hill there where it kind of burnt a little bit there at the end. But overall, I think that we've got, I think we're, every farmer out there is probably pretty satisfied. And considering that the rain shut off halfway through the summer, I think they'd take this, you know, if they knew the circumstances, they'd sign up to take this yield. Absolutely. It's better than what they expected.
Well, you were a bit of a farmer this year as well, and you had some, you've been doing your test plots for a while now. You moved from corn last year to beans this year. Tell me a little bit about your own experiences.
So with the precision side of things, we've always done depth and singulation and things of that sort with corn. So on the soybean side, we decided that we would do some spacing and population. 30-inch soybeans have, you know, there's definitely guys around our area that still plant 30-inch soybeans or have planted 30-inch soybeans for a long time. They get some pretty good yields. Those beans get pretty tall. They fill out with a lot of pods and a lot of beans on them. 15-inch spacing is probably more popular in our area, and a lot of that is to do is just the weed control. You go faster canopy with 15-inch spacing. You've got more leaves out there to take care of that. You don't quite get as many pods on the plant, but you have twice as many plants when you have 15 inch rows versus 30. I would say the population wise is probably in the 120,000 is probably the most popular 130,000 population beans. So we went with knowing that 30 inch beans can have some advantages if you control the weeds. We wanted to see how low we could go. We went 60,000 population on 15 and 30s. We went 90,000 population on 15s and 30s, 120 on 15s and 30s, and 150,000 population on both 15 and 30 spacing, inch spacing as well. From early indicators, you know, going out picking a few plants, looks like, you know, the 30s are going to have some good pods to them, the lower spacing. 60 is probably too low. I think we all knew that, you know, going into it, 60 is probably too low, but I'm going to say that our 90,000 population plants are going to produce pretty good. So that's kind of my leading indicator going into it. But we'll take it to yield here in a week or so and see what we actually get for total yield, not just pulling a plant here and a plant there. So,
is there a betting pool at the store right now for who's going to have the most
accurate? No, we need that.
Yeah,
we need that. We need to play some odds on this.
Put some skin in the game. Yeah, if you get it,
give
if you get it right,
day.
You get it right, you get a take of the field when it's marketed. So off to a bit of a dusty start this year with harvest owing to the lack of moisture. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, the July the rain just stopped. It just quit. We forgot to rain. Still haven't had a rain day yet during harvest. Be nice to get one here. The boys have been running for a few weeks now, and a day to stop, a day to catch our breath, get a nap in, maybe, you know, a full night's rest, you know, just put the mind at ease for a second so you're not sitting there watching that header all day for 10 hours a day. For the human body, it'd be good. For the combines, it'd be good. Maybe find a bearing or two that might need some grease. Get out and do some walk arounds, take some time, we can clean some stuff up, maybe get some chaff off of things, blow it off. You know, just that general maintenance stuff that we haven't been able to do, but more probably bigger than anything is we've sold a few more water pumps this year. I think that might be to, you know, the dusty, dirty conditions, maybe getting into some radiators, you know, things aren't breathing as much. But yeah, we definitely need to get out and blow that air filter out more than just every morning now. It's get it out of there and tap it out, and there's no doubt there's going to be some dust and dirt in those air filters.
So you're completely in corn right now. You seeing anything unusual from year to year? I mean, again, the weather this year kind of turned off the spigot. What are you seeing as far as crop threshing, separating, residue characteristics? Anything out of the ordinary?
It's fed pretty good because it's pretty dry. We've got a little bit more. I'd say we have pockets with some green stems in them. The corn's ready to go, but the stalks are not. I really have a feeling that maybe this is part of BT. You know, as we continue to evolve this, you know, those stalks are more like cactus, where they're cacti. They're holding that moisture in, you know, for a longer period. So even when it does dry up like this, I think that stalk was holding some moisture from early in the season. You know, we're getting these plants to be pretty biologically advanced here, and I think that's something that we're going to deal with in the future when it's not so dry. You know, we've talked about it for years now. How do we get rid of these stalks in the field? We got these root systems that are just unreal, and how do we get rid of it? You know, that's a lot of organic matter out there. As we go no-till, at some point, what are we going to do with all this? It's we're going to have solid mass on top. I don't know if we need to get a plow out and turn this over or what we need to do, but something that we're going to each have to address. I think as this stuff grows and continues to advance, it's going to be more and more of an issue because we're going to have a heck of a root system in these products. So,
well, we know the need to crack the stalk and try to get moisture and microbial action in there, but that root ball, you know, that's serious. And yeah. If you're running no-till, you're not putting anything down there to break it or shatter it or to invert it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you're basically over a few years, if you corn on corn, which is a lot of temptation for guys to do, you're basically paving it out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take more than a vertical till at some point.
Yeah.
Or a high-speed, you know, machine that's going, you know, 2 inches deep. At some point, we're going to have to turn this. So,
you know, coming into the season, we had you know, some news chatter about issues with the rail infrastructure. Now, where do you, you know, we're still early, but what are you seeing in terms of getting the grain away, and the trend of farmers in your area? Are they storing it themselves? Are they selling it? Are they storing it at the elevator? Are we having issues getting grain out of there? Are we filling pits now, even though we're early? Talk to me about that.
I haven't seen any pits started yet. Here locally in Full City, the pit is ready to go, but I haven't seen them dump on it yet. I know they had several early trains lined up, and even a couple high moisture trains, which, you know, I don't know the how that all works, but I would, you know, be a little bit timid putting high moisture corn in a rail car, but I guess they're probably taking it straight to a feedlot or something and dumping it. But yeah, they had several trains lined up early in the season, and they were taking it out as fast as it was coming in early in the season. So I think they're in good shape. You know, over in Northwest Missouri, where I'm at now, I haven't seen any ground piles yet, and usually there's a few over here too. So I guess maybe that they had sold things, you know, the elevators maybe had sold some things off while prices were high, you know, early this season, and got ready to do this. But yeah, I think the other part is every farmer out there has more on-farm storage than ever. You know, grain bins, guys were waiting on grain bins, and I think the guys that sell grain bins were selling them as fast as they could get them, or faster than they could get them in most cases. So,
well, you know, we have a lot of fundamentals in the favor of the farmer, with good crop pricing, and it looks that it could hold for a while. The only fundamental we don't have is running out of stuff to sell. So as we go into the end of the year, I know you have things to sell, but like all retailers of farm equipment, those supply lines are a little bit strained. Talk to me about what's going to be available and what farmers can invest in with you to really benefit next season.
Well, for us, I'm not afraid to order. We've got a good selection. We've got probably 20 tractors on the lot right now. Most of those are, you know, 110, 120 horsepower and down currently. You know, they're the Global Series, they're chore tractors, they're, you know, compact tractors, and those are things that will definitely get sold, no doubt. You know, we've got a couple bigger tractors coming this month yet. We've got some more coming before end of the year. 300, 350 horse tractors. Still waiting on some of my fence stuff. Most of the fence stuff being built right now is already retailed. So for me, trying to get some stock equipment that's not doesn't look like that's going to happen before end of the year, but hopefully first quarter, second quarter of 23, we start seeing some of that. We've got an Ideal combine retailed that's scheduled for second quarter of next year. I'm also got a demo combine for next year. So hopefully next year we can get the demo combine. Got several gleaners on order. I don't know if we'll get one for demo or not. We're demoing the gleaner this year, so maybe next year we can get out and demo the Ideal and get them both going at some point in the future. But I don't know. I'm one that I like to keep the combine back. This gleaner combine that we're out demoing, we've had people interested in it. And, you know, it's the argument, you know, is one in the hand or two in the bush. I said two in the bush was better than one in the hand, and I kept this combine back so that we can demo, and we've got it out to some John Deere guys that are really liking it. Hopefully we can, you know, get a couple of them to actually take one of my orders. We've got several combines ordered, and hopefully we can change them to retail and put some names on them. But we wouldn't have been able to do that if we would have sold the combine. So we would have just, you know, sold it to a current gleaner customer. And I've got several current gleaner customers from around the country that have called for this combine. But I wouldn't let it go. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let it go to a guy clear out in Indiana or Southwest Kansas or anything of that sort. I need it to be in my territory, and I need to take care of my
customers
first and foremost.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Well, Mitch, thank you for being on the show today. And you always have such incredible insights. And I wish you tremendous luck and safety out there to you and all of the customers of the MERS Farm Equipment family. Thanks for being on the show today, Mitch.
Yep. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. I know I did. Mitch is such a great guy to have on the show, full of a lot of insight. And I hope you'll keep tuning in for that insight, discussion, and maybe a few laughs. And if you'd like to join us on the program and tell us about your harvest, just send us a message by connecting with us on social media. The Harvest Trail Podcast is a production of Agricultural Dealers United and brought to you by some of the best dealers in the business. You can find previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform or at theharvesttrailpodcast.com. The show is produced by Rich Williams, and I'm your host, Jeff Michaels. Until next time, may your bins overflow and the fuel bill stay reasonable. May the bean dust stay on the outside of the cab and the stalks out of the tires. Have a great, safe, enjoyable, and bountiful harvest from your friends right here at the Harvest Trail Podcast.